Speaking of last week's car show,
yeah.
I read an article by Robert Twersky. So he said that we should always remember the bad things that happened. In other words, according to the prophet makeup, I have arisen because I fell.
Huh?
I have arisen because I fell. In other words, we have to remember, and our thanks to Hashem for the bad things too that happened to us. Like in Yitzrayim, he gives that as an analogy. Yeah. But this is really my question.
Yeah.
But after we were molded and crafted, we became a nation. It's also spiritually by Sinai. So here's my question. Now we 70 years ago or so, we had a Holocaust. But then we came back to Eretz Yisrael. The state of Israel was established. So in the years to come, can we use that as an analogy? In other words, something we felt, but Hashem, look what we got, you know, the state of Israel.
Yes.
Yeah. Next, as I begin with this concept, next week's parsha contains the parsha of Teshuvah. It's introduced with the phrase that when there will come upon you all these matters, haklala v'bracha, the curse and the blessing. Then v'ashevot elavavacha, that will bring back you to your heart, wherever you are scattered in the world. So we can apply this to the situation today. We can say the Jewish people as a whole were suffering from the trauma of the Holocaust, which still has horrors in the memory of the nation. Especially the way in which it's being abused today by many of our enemies, but also the blessing of being able to return to our own homeland, which is mentioned in the previous passages, both the blessing and the curse, they both become fulfilled. And what will that do? It'll bring back the Jewish people to their heart. They'll know I've got a Jewish heart. I can't escape it. Yeah? The Jewish heart is either brought to recognition that a Jew can't be like the nations because of the anti-Semitism. On the other hand, the revival of Jewish life in our own homeland, where now we've got 6 million Jews, brings a lot of hope to the people of Israel. It's a blessing. So we have both. And after coming back to the heart, then we have to come back to Hashem. And then there's the whole parsha of Teshuvah. So the purpose of what's happening today is described clearly in the parsha, that all these are methods that are used by divine providence to bring the people of Israel back, not just to our soil, but also to our soul. But now I want to take from Rav Dessler very deep insight, I think, which will help all of us when we're praying, spending so much on prayer in the next days, especially Shon and Yom Kippur. So I want everyone to follow this in Hebrew now, because I'm going to base it on page Kuf Nun Dalet, in the middle of the page, where we have here Zichronot. Now, I want to introduce this with the following concept. What is prayer? How would you say in Hebrew to pray? Lehit palel. What's the root of the word lehit palel?
He said he wants to judge himself.
It's reflexive. It's self-judgment. Now, this is a deep concept. In other words, we pray to Hashem,
in supplication of our things missing, please Hashem help me. And we praise Hashem, recognizing His greatness. But the essence of prayer is to judge oneself. Generally speaking, in life we judge other people. We're always looking at other people, are they doing good things, are they doing bad things? That self-judgment is much more difficult. Most people think I'm always right, so it's nothing to judge. If I'm always right, who's going to judge whom? Mm-hmm. But we have to recognize we've got a Yetzer Hara in the Neshama, a Yetzer Hara in Nefesh, and in prayer we link up with Hashem, as though we breathe in, as it were, the soul of Hashem into ourselves. And with the words of prayer, which initiate our connection with Hashem, we judge, are we up to it? Are we doing that which is right? Now, why do I mention this? Because there's many times it says in the Chumash, you should remember. But there's only one day in the year which is called the Day of Remembrance, Yom HaZikaron. And that is Rosh Hashanah. It's called Zichron Teruah in the Chumash. The essence of the day of Rosh Hashanah and even the blowing of the Shofar, Teruah, is to remember. What do we have to remember? So the essence of remembering is to go back in our memory. In our memory, generally speaking, if we did wrong things, so we forget about them. And we think the past, we like to remember very pleasant things from the past, but we suppress in our memory things that are unpleasant, both about a behavior of which we are ashamed, as well as even unpleasant things that happen to us. Generally speaking, we like to suppress them. Sometimes the experiences were so strong they created trauma. That means they come up from our subconscious mind to our conscious mind. Now here there's very deep essays, because Rav Dessler, his method of Musa, after all he was reared in Musa, he would say, his father-in-law was the son of a major disciple of Solanta, that's the Simcha Sisu of Kelm, and that's where he studied, and he himself was descended from Solanta. So he had it in his genes and in his environment. So now I want to paraphrase with you phrases that we use in the Machzor of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And they're based upon Yom HaZikaron, we call it, the Day of Remembrance. Rosh Hashanah is mentioned in the Chumash, Zichron Teruah. And one of the phrases we find, Ein Shichacha Lifnei Chitzei Chodecha. There's no such thing as forgetfulness in front of the throne of your glory. Hashem remembers everything. He knows everything, He remembers everything. We tend to forget many things. So let's try to analyze what does this mean. Could everybody shut the Hebrews? And I want to commentate it. Is everyone got? In the middle of page Kuf Nun Dal. Hineno sovrim b'ta'ut. Many of us think by mistake. Ki ha-machshava she-shachnua, that any thought that we have forgotten about doesn't exist anymore inside us. In fact, what is the famous saying of Ibn Ezra? He'avar ayin, what's past no longer exists. What's in the future hasn't happened yet. And the moment is just like an eye's wing. So why worry about anything? Yavar ayin, He'atid adayin v'ahove geheref ayin imkein da'aga minayin. Let's put it in the rhyme. And also in life, okay, many of us worry what's going to happen in the future, that still exists with us. There are people who brood on the past. Sometimes we remember beautiful things that happened in the past, but ugly things we like to suppress. Let's say Holocaust survivors, sometimes they can only live if they suppress into the depth of the subconscious the experience they had to go through. But if we would remember them, it would be impossible. It's like if we wouldn't have the forgetfulness, well, let's say we've had a very painful painful teeth and we felt the drill strongly of the dentist, which caused a great pain. We forget the pain. Yeah. It's good we forget pains, otherwise we couldn't stand it, we couldn't deal with life. How forgetfulness is something good in a way. But if we also forget our own failings, that's why we repeat them. And you know, the people who forget their mistakes, they're liable to repeat them again and never get rid of them. So therefore also thoughts that we've forgotten about, we sometimes imagine they don't exist. Ve'emet, kayemet tmunata b'mocheinu. The truth is, in the human mind, the image of what we thought and what we did remains. Ela, she'rechuka hi min nekudah, is very far removed from the point of conscious knowledge. We don't really think about it, but it's there underneath. Kishkua mitachat dvarim acherim, because it's buried under many other things. She anu tana yoter, which are more interesting for ourselves. So therefore, it's buried underneath. Well, how can you prove it? How can you prove that there are things buried in the subconscious, that they still exist there? They haven't disappeared, they're buried. How do you know? Very often you want to remember something, and then you can't remember it straight away. But you can, in English they say, you can rack your brains. First puts his head here and racks his brain. Oh, who was that? You remember the name. So people sometimes ask me, do you remember this student? I can't remember his name. I rack my brains and think a bit, so it comes up again. But the person can do that. We all of us do it non-stop. We had a certain intention at one time, then we forget it. To rack our brains. It's interesting that the same, sometimes people, they get an idea and it comes and goes. But the idea is valuable, so what do? They know, they can do two things, either say it out aloud, tell the idea out aloud, perhaps even a few times, and then they remember it. Or they can even just write it down, and then when they want to think, what did I think about last week? Something I really wanted to do and I've forgotten about. So you make a list and write it down, then you can recall it. So writing down was a way of recalling it. What does it prove? And there are many things that go through our minds and go through our lives and go also through our deeds and what we experience, and we forget it. But forgetting it doesn't mean it disappears. It's there, it's buried in the subconscious mind. So you can anu magishim. We feel by concentration you're able linkov to make a little hole, derech masach ha-mabdil, right through the partition that separates between the conscious mind and what's deep in my mind, so you can get back to what's deep by concentration. Now, if we go into it further, the real characteristics of a person, amidot, v'hakochot, and also the different emotional powers and intellectual powers, she'ovdim mitar l'safa karatadum, which keep on working underneath the threshold of man's conscious recognition. This is what gives a person the ability to recollect earlier thoughts, even those, even though he puts away that he shouldn't remember them. For example, mashal, a lazy person, because he's got laziness inside him, will cause him to forget even things that are important for him, because inside himself he's got this quality of laziness. I mean, no, he doesn't want to move around. So he even puts things which are important. He are atzlut shebeker of libo, because the laziness which exists really inside his heart, inside the subconscious, titche otam, it pushes them away from his thoughts. Then he forgets. If a lazy person, let's say he's got a job in a certain place, but he's got laziness inside him, so the laziness works on him from underneath. You should forget to get up in time for his job. So he'll come an hour late. And it's he do it quite often, because he hasn't worked on his laziness. But which often we don't even recognize, what will he say? He'll say, I forgot. But what's the source of forgetfulness is often laziness. Let's say a person is supposed to give a call to his parents, they're expecting it, at least once a week. And he forgets. Sometimes I even get calls from parents saying, why doesn't that person give me a call? Well, he'll probably say he forgot, again and again. But really, from the forgetfulness, it might be lazy, it might be something else. It might be an inner antagonism with the parents. It can also help be the reason. But the student will say, well, I forgot. I forget things easily. Why is he forgetting? Why forget these things? So the people call it forgetfulness. Now, yesh machshavot she'en la'merach avrei, there are many different aspects of thinking that don't have any value for me. It's passed through my mind. Then we push them away. We don't want to know about them. For example, the truth is that a lot of the people I have to contact, I really don't want to. I wish I wouldn't have to. Yeah, I've got so many of different things. I've got a type of style that I want to learn, I want to teach. And I'm not interested, really, in knowing who are the rich people or who I should contact. I'm not really interested in it. And therefore, the truth is, I'm trying to keep this method. I should not forget what I've learned. I should be able to grow in that, not forget also many fantastic teachings I've heard from my teachers. At the same time, I'm crowded out with having to, people sometimes ask me, I've got a phone book, yeah? They say, what's that phone and what's that phone number? I've met quite a few of them I've seen all the time, I can't help remembering, but most of them I like to forget. So what I do, the only way to do it, I have a list, but I have inside, I'd like to forget most of them. It's too much, because if you crowd my mind too much with phone numbers of this person and that person, and I have to know a few hundred of them to keep the yeshiva going, it's not something that I enjoy. So therefore, I have to write it down. There are some, I know it's called Rogichova, he had a photographic memory to the extent he could look at a page of phone numbers and tell you right away what they all were, just automatically. Hashem didn't give me such a brain. So therefore I have to do selection. So this applies to all of us in different ways. It's something I push away to the bottom of my ability to remember. I sometimes can rack my brains a lot and remember the name or the phone number. Because of our midot also, the midot, if I'm lazy or I'm a person who's very, it's the opposite, he's hyperactive. A hyperactive person in his mind as well, another person who is more lazy. So therefore, it's this midot which produce in our minds certain different things that we think are not important, and therefore we push them away from our memory. But then, Yesh Mashid, but let's analyze it further. I'm going to page Kuf Nun Hei. Yesh Mizahu Elanu Bakrateinu Aval Bekitzo. Now, there are many things that we remember with a conscious mind. Next page, Kuf Nun Hei. What happened?
What about anxiety? Doesn't that when a person has a ton of anxiety and phobias and he's afraid all the time?
Yeah.
You know, if he has Asperger's, he's afraid that he might offend somebody, that he's gonna deal with somebody. He's so full of this anxiety, he's practically paralyzed for hours, and by the time he gets over it, it's too late already.
You need to get help to get over phobias. The Torah gives us good advice how to work on it. To work on it, not to be too much under fear of what might happen.
Gesher tzaraot.
Gesher
tzaraot.
Okay, everybody.
Rich.
This life is a narrow bridge, but the main thing is not to be afraid to cross it. So perhaps for some people it's not good to regard this life as a narrow bridge which you're likely to fall, but rather as a path of life where Hashem can guide you. Shouldn't always feel. There are people who are overconfident, and therefore for them it's good they should know life is a narrow bridge, and there are people who lack confidence and who lack self-esteem and think I'm nothing, I'm going to offend people, I'm going to do harm, and then for them they've got to work in the opposite direction. Each person's got to work in his direction. So there's some people that are overconfident and they just go through life and don't care whom they hurt on the way. So those people have to know life is a narrow bridge. And you've got to keep the right balance of activity without hurting anyone and just helping others. This is the path of the Torah. But a person who is overcome by fears is going to fall. So, you know, that is the inner contradiction between the two states, Ikal or Lefach and Klal. So if a person is always thinking it's a narrow bridge, and I'm going to fall, he will be mefachid. Yeah, so the din is, you should not, as there are two statements in Tehillim which contradict one another, contradict the Torah and the Gemara. It says, Ashrei Adam mefachid tamid, umakshe libo yipol bra'a. Happy is the person who's always afraid. He knows the narrow bridge. And he who hardens his heart and says, I'm not afraid of anything, then he will fall. He will fall into evil because he's not afraid of anything. He thinks there's nothing to fear. I can do what I want. I can say what I want. Doesn't matter. I can hurt the person this way, that way. I'll interrupt his speech. I'll nullify his words. And then I'll take for myself food, and I don't care if somebody else complains. But such a person, you should learn to be afraid, because ultimately he's going to fall into evil. On the other hand, is a pochad b'tzion chataim. Those who live in Tzion, and Tzion is not only living in Eretz Israel,
Yeah, which applies as well, specifically. But Sion is a word which means life. In life we give a signpost. The word Sion means to give us have a signpost. A Sion.
Mm-hmm. What is the signpost?
The signpost shows you the right direction. So it's someone who's got the great benefit of being given directions where to go and how to go by Hashem. He doesn't need to be afraid. And if he's afraid, then he is missing the mark. It's a chata'im. He's not doing the right thing. In other words, Hashem gives you a path. You do what Hashem says in the right way, and then you'll calm down. You won't be afraid of anything. Because Hashem has told you, you must be kind to every person. You mustn't speak lashon hara. You mustn't go and take food without knowing that it's for you. Don't take an extra portion of it. I'm seeing a few simple examples. So, and also, you don't have to be afraid because you get up the slichas. Let's speak practically. I mean, it's a disgrace for Shamayim that we don't have a minyan for slichas. It just needs an extra little print. We've got slichas books down there. I put out a few more on the desk. Plenty of slichas book. And I want to beg that you should help. We should have a minyan for slichas. And because we have to prepare ourselves for this period to fulfill the will of Hashem. Well, you know, slichas is a custom that's developed, nevertheless, to feel a betziva of this nature is important. All it means, go to bed half an hour earlier. So I hope we'll be able to get a minyan for slichas tomorrow. Anyway, let's go back to the subject matter. Top of page Kuf Nun Hei. This is a beautiful illustration. There are many things that we remember Bahakara, that means consciously, but that we remember for a very short time. And afterwards, instead of having to use our memory, they become automatic. And we really forget them. For example, that two Beit Pa'amim Beit Adadim, 2 + 2 is equal to how much?
4.
Now, how were we first taught that when we were children? How would you teach a little child that 2 + 2 is 4? A little baby.
Your fingers.
Yeah. Your fingers or apples, yeah? You give him two candies. You give a child, teaching a child to count, two fingers, or 2 apples + 2 apples, makes 4 apples. But because how do they do? You look at the apples or the picture, and you see they're 4 in front of me. But we, when you grow up, we know that they are 4 without thinking how we came to it. Similarly, how do you teach a child to read? ABC or alphabet.
Put honey on
the... Yeah, make them love the letters. Yeah, that seemed better. But in any case, you teach the child the letter, the alphabet, and the vowel sign, the kudot. Now, a person today reads a sentence, in English the same applies, he doesn't look at it, this is an A, this is a B, this is a C. Or in Hebrew, this is an aleph, and the comets underneath it. Comets, aleph, oh. Comets, aleph, a patach, aleph, ah, and so on. Comets, aleph, oh. Comets, beit, bo, and so on. That's the procedure you go to teach the child how to read Hebrew. But when we make progress, of course, to some extent, some of us have to go through it, through learning in this manner, when you don't know any Hebrew at all. So you've also got to be, maybe as adults, we don't know any Hebrew. So also we start with, this is an aleph, and this underneath is a comma. So you say, aleph with a comma makes all. And that's what we start learning, base the same. And then we learn how to read the letters together. Aleph and a base makes together a word called Av. And what's Av mean? A father. Right, so you teach the baby, the child, or the adult to learn the new language, the letters, the vowels. But honestly, according to when we read today, it's in English, ABC, and whether it's in Hebrew, we don't think about this method at all. We forget about it. Many of us even forgotten how we actually learned it in the beginning. We don't remember the letters separately and the Nekudot separately, but in short, now today we reach the level when you read the whole world, the whole words together. And then you don't even read the whole word, you don't even look at the whole word, you look at the sentence. Because al yidei hagel, bikriya, through reading regularly, we no longer require nischirat hapratim, we don't have to remember the details anymore. Therefore, the details don't come into our conscious mind. Our conscious mind, there are many people who do speed reading, conscious mind, you just read one sentence after the other goes in your mind. But the separate words, also some people don't read. Just read afterwards, you don't even, you know what it says there, yes. And if you make something, you want to memorize it, and then you memorize each word exactly as it is. Sometimes you'd only memorize the content. That's the difference in learning Bekiyot and learning Iyun. You know, when a person learns Bekiyot, generally speaking, whether it's enough, or even in Gemara Mishnah, you have to memorize the words, because you make a special effort. But when a person learns a sugi in the Gemara Be'iyun, sometimes he doesn't remember the words, and the words aren't really important. Important is what's the meaning. Find the Gemara. Gemara is like that. With Gemara, most of the words in the Gemara are just idioms or brief concepts. Even one word contains a concept. Yes. So that's right. Now, so the question arises: there's so many troubles that come. How does one forget troubles? How does one forget pain? As I said before, there's a lot of painful moments. How is it we forget the pain? If we wouldn't forget, Hashem gave. In fact, there's a famous moshul with Dovne Magid. It says in the past a few weeks' time that it says that Hashem, He gave human beings the power of forgetfulness. Why did Hashem give it? He gave it, we should get paid. And you, what do you do with the power of forgetfulness? You go and forget Hashem is Borah, who gave you this power. He didn't give you the power of forgetfulness, you forget Hashem. He wants Am Yisrael always to be aware of Hashem. But what do we do with this great power of forgetfulness? We go and forget Hashem. Why is it great? It's one of the greatest gifts. If we couldn't forget, I mean, let's put it, a person who's been in the Holocaust and he can't forget it, he can't live. Some of them wouldn't live. They became zombies, and they went around like vegetables. But they can't forget. The things were so terrible. The pain accompanied them all the time. Didn't go away. And even after the Holocaust, they couldn't forget it. But because Hashem gave the power of forgetfulness, they're able to survive. Very great gift. And every individual has to go sometimes through terrible pain, and if you couldn't get over it, you will also become a zombie, become a vegetable. So how is it possible? Ela mishum shebekerev libo yodeo shein melech. Inside he knows that all the troubles he's gone through, many of them, it's better to forget them. Therefore his feelings, so you have to forget it. V'im b'ki b'shaz chamim. Now, he speaks about this. We also often forget the power of evil that exists within us. We've done something very, very wrong, and we try to suppress it. We say, I felt so ashamed that I felt I should go down underground, like Kripa and Vinkov, it's so ashamed. But we forget about it. Why? How did we say, well, it wasn't so bad. We start judging ourselves in a good light, like we naturally do. The time when we have the great power of the evil inclination over us, then he realizes that these are important matters. But when he shouldn't do such things. But when it doesn't apply anymore, in practice, mitnachem, then he consoles himself. For example, he gives here something which does bring us a lot of pain. And sometimes we think we will never be able to forget it. When we have a parent or a child or whatever, and they die, can't forget it. But we say Hashem, he made a special decree that the dead people, like part of ourselves, parents, children that have died, and we had great love for them, and now they've gone from us. So Hashem made a decree that you can forget them after a year. Sha'avi ruchanit. Because this is a spiritual love, and a Kodesh Boruch, that we feel that this, because of this love, we miss them so much. But Hashem made a special loving kindness, she gam hamet yishtakeach min alev, that a dead person, however dear they were to us, will forget the pain. And that's the reason for the laws of Avelot. Now, before I continue, any questions?
I have a question. Yes. When you say making tshuva.
Yes.
But before you can make tshuva, you have to discern between truth and falsehood. So how does a mind, between truth and falsehood, how can the mind say this is truth, this is falsehood? How can the mind discern which is truth and which is falsehood?
Baruch Hashem has given us a Torah. It's deep down in the conscience, people have a knowledge of truth and falsehood in a subjective manner. But to get objectively stronger borderlines, what's truth and what's falsehood, Hashem gave us a Torah. He gave a Torah for the Bnei Noach, and he gave a Torah to Bnei Israel. And the Torah is truth. Hashem, in the Torah, he makes clear distinctions of what's right and what's wrong. And that is what we have to remember. That's the Zikaron. You have to work on it.
So where do thoughts come from? Where do our thoughts come from?
The thoughts come from the Yetzer Hara or the Yetzer Hatov. The thoughts that come to us from our animalistic nature, from the bodily instincts, that produce also thoughts and intentions, what we want to do. And the other thoughts that come from the Yetzer Hatov. Let's say when let's speak about things that apply to some of you here. Some of you has already been applied strongly. When you go meet someone for a shidduch, also in married life, there's an intermingling of physical attraction. The person's going to be led entirely by physical attraction. You could even have a situation of Nezem Zahab Afrazir Isha Yafa Bazara Ta'am, as Shlomo HaMelech says, that there can be a most beautiful, attractive woman, but she has a bad character. It's like a golden ring in the nose of a swine. So that sometimes happens. But the Yetzer Hara takes over. This is the Yetzer Hara, it's just doing what's natural. natural attractions. The Yetzer Hara Tov says, character is what comes. Character or virtue is what comes. Because I don't say any color whose eyes are beautiful, then she is totally beautiful. What they mean is they're not referring to the beauty of eyes physically, they're referring to eyes and ayin tov. And ayin tov, the words of the sages, means people who are out to do good to others. And ayin ra is people who are jealous or have negative approaches to others, to others' success and so on. So therefore, we have one of the things, that's why Avraham Avinu, he decided the major factor for Am Yisrael and the Shidduch is an Ein Tov, is the power of loving kindness. So loving kindness is the basis of true marriage. Loving kindness has its source in the Yetzer Hara Tov. Even amongst the nations of the world, but if there are people who are only concerned to help others, that is following the quality of Hashem, who gives constantly. That's the Yetzer Hara Tov. Okay. Now, this all introduction to try to understand Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaZikaron. The prayers of Rosh Hashanah, where we say Hashem remembers everything, should teach us also to remember the things that matter. We have to try to, as it were, as we say, rack our minds on my own life, on my own character. Lehit palel, to judge ourselves. Because that's Yom HaDin is the day of judgment, which comes through self-judgment. So, we have to, in the depth of ourselves, is the voice of Hashem. So that's what we have to work on. And that's what we'll see a bit in the continuation of this deep essay of the importance of Zichron Hashem Yitbarach, both Midah and Neged Midah. Hazocheh lemazkirav, tovot zichrono. Hashem remembers, for those who remember Him, so He will remember Hashem and try to change your life. Your life should be enlightened by the path which Hashem gives us, then Hashem remembers us. So this is the essence of Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron. You keep this, we'll get back to me. If you keep them, then bring them for the next year. Bring this for the next year.
Tesla, right? Do I have Tesla?
Huh?
Tesla.
Yes.
What is the sefer?
Well, really, this it's a likut. They put out now. Putting together essays of major essays and thoughts of Rashi to put together in 7 volumes. But they scattered different subjects. But now there's come out where they put them all together. All those for Elul, for Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur, and Sukkot.
A whole year?
Yes, separately. Yeah.
So this is from essays from Rosh Hashanah?
Yes.